story of a man who had twin daughters. Let's call them Elsie and Lucy, and I hope I'm not sort of encroaching on your family members. Elsie was a convinced pessimist. Lucy, an incurable optimist. And one Christmas, he had the idea that he would cure them, or at least moderate these traits. So on Christmas Eve, whilst they were asleep, he filled Elsie's bedroom, the pessimist, with masses of toys. Whereas in Lucy's bedroom, he placed a huge pile of manure. Oh, next morning he came into Elsie's bedroom expecting her for once to be happy and positive. Instead, she complained miserably, "Look at all these toys, I'll never be able to read all the instructions. Besides, well, they'll soon be broken. And anyway, my friends will all be envious of me." When he went into Lucy's bedroom, he was astonished to find that far from being depressed at this enormous mass of manure on her carpet, she was happily rummaging around in this huge heap and saying, "I'm sure I'll find a pony in here somewhere." Well, they do say that people can be divided into pessimists or optimists. People who see the glass as half full or half empty. But everyone is afraid of something. You wouldn't be human if you weren't. If you have a particular fear of something, you have a phobia. It comes from the Greek phobos, and in Greek mythology, Phobos was the twin brother of Deimos, terror. And those of you who like astronomy know that the two moons of Mars are Phobos and Deimos. But I mean, and some phobias are very well known, aren't they? I mean, let's just have a little fun here. Claustrophobia, fear of
confined
spaces. Agoraphobia,
wide spaces.
Wide spaces, the opposite, yes. Arachnophobia.
Spiders.
Yes, I'm not terribly keen. It's the earwigs that get me, but anyway. Triskaidekaphobia.
13.
Very good. Oh, my goodness me. Didn't read this in the vestry,
did
you? I know
my phobias.
Ergophobia. Yes, I met a few of these characters in my ministry. Fear of work. Greek ergo. Ergon, rather. Courophobia. C-O-U-L-R-O phobia. Courophobia. Ah, got you. Fear of clowns. Fear of clowns. Nomophobia. Fear of losing your mobile. Alugobiphobia. A fear of potato and cauliflower curry. Now, I can understand. I can't imagine anything more revolting. Obi-Wan Kenobiphobia. Fear of Jedi Knights. Alugobi, Obi-Wan Kenobi phobia. Fear of spiced potato and cauliflower shaped like Jedi Knights. Well, you could be quite silly, but especially in this new year, goodness me, there is much to fear, quite seriously. Just look at the world in which we live, even compared to the state of things a couple of years ago. You know, I mentioned Washington, the United States, Syria, France, I mean, Russia. We can contemplate the world and the international scene and be very gloomy about the prospects of international peace and harmony. Further nearer home, we can wring our hands with despair at our own country and its immediate future, with our big question marks over our relationship with the countries in Europe, with increasing child poverty, increasing homelessness, decreasing life expectancy, which is an utter shame on those who govern us. You and I can fear for the future of the church, capital C, which seems to be struggling to make its voice heard in a world which does not appear to want to hear the gospel preached, proclaimed. And we can be anxious about what tomorrow will hold for each one of us. For the future can all too easily be clouded with uncertainty, whether it's regard to things like finance or health, family concerns or whatever. At the beginning of a year, there's a great deal to be afraid about. And I want to encourage you as Christians all to be optimists. And I'll tell you why. This Christmas, even though I missed quite a few services, unfortunately, I have been hearing a lot of the Christmas readings on the radio and on television, even if it wasn't in church. And, I knew them all pretty well. I mean, I ought to, being a minister, having preached in half of them. But I noticed that four of them had something in common, which made them stand out in just a slightly different and rather startling way. And put together, they give us an important message as we prepare for a new year as a Christian community here in Woking. Now, leaving aside the function and purpose of angels all, except to say they were God's messengers, they all figure in these passages. We have four instances of God speaking to individuals about things that were going to happen in the future, and moreover, things that God himself was going to bring about. And this, I found, was the interesting thing about these passages. Not merely the case that people were reassured. It's not just about stroking, there, it'll be all right. But that in four very different situations, the characters are told quite clearly not to be afraid. And the first is the fear not of what we could call unanswered prayer. In Luke chapter 1, verse 13, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah." So this would have been read Sunday before Christmas, probably. "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." Zechariah is told that his prayers have been heard. And so I would say to you, as this new year gets underway, never think that God doesn't hear your prayers. They may not be answered in quite the way that you either think or perhaps hope, but they will be answered, and they will be answered in a way that will make you realize that our God is truly Emmanuel, God with us. Don't be afraid. The second fear not is of the humanly impossible. So also from Luke 1, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. For nothing is impossible with God." It's verse 30 and 35. And Mary questions whether what the angel has announced will actually or can actually come about, and is told by God that with God nothing is impossible. So, as I hope I'm more than a guest, that I'm an old friend of Trinity. I would say to you, don't let your horizons be restricted by the limits of your own logic or imagination. If you feel discouraged, just think what we are doing in this circuit and in this church. We've thought and prayed and talked and shared and planned and prayed again that we will do God's will. And we must have faith now to see that we shall be safe in God's hands. And do not be afraid. And then thirdly, the fear not of immediate obedience, as it were. Matthew this time. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Then Joseph did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. So thirdly, we have Joseph, Zechariah, then Mary, and now Joseph, who understandably, when he discovers that his fiancée is pregnant, is actually considering a form of divorce to save any embarrassment. And he's told simply, do as you're told. Obey God. And in each case, Zechariah, Joseph, and Mary are told not to be afraid. It's almost as if it's not an option. It's not an option. And there's a good reason. You see, of course, it's simply saying don't be afraid or don't worry to those who in need can seem very trite and sound very hollow. I know that. We should never, never downplay anyone's fears or anxieties if by doing so we're ignoring them or not listening to their own experiences. Nor should we if we're only doing it for our own benefit. Just saying, don't worry, never mind, and dismissing people insensitively, that's no good. But fear can have a paralyzing effect. I'm not suggesting that just because we have genuine worries about the future, we'll all be like rabbits transfixed in the glare of a car's headlights. But I would suggest that if we don't take God's promises seriously, we'll be in danger of letting fear, not love, become the determining factor of our future actions. Well, you're probably thinking to yourselves, I'd like a glass of water too, but you're probably thinking, well, didn't he say four examples? He's only mentioned three, and of course you'd be quite right, because the fourth is what I would call the fear not of salvation. And finally we have these words spoken to the shepherds. The shepherds on the hillside outside Bethlehem, who are terrified by the vision of the angel. You all know the story, you've heard it lots of times. They probably imagine something dreadful is going to happen. And the angel says, do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And the key for me in that little verse is the word joy. You know, we can't be laughing or chuckling all the time. That's unrealistic. It's crass, actually. Even as Christians, we experience times of great unhappiness. There's plenty of things in this world that we see on telly that give us cause for grief. But joy is different in essence, because it is a more permanent thing. It undergirds everything else, because it's about experiencing the peace of God in our hearts. As Jesus said, such as the world cannot give. An assurance that despite whatever the world can throw at us, all will be well. So four examples of the command to be unafraid. It's not just there. It'll be all right. It's a command to be unafraid, to take God at his word. Four brilliant examples. And there's a fifth. You go to the end of Matthew's gospel, to where he talks about the tomb after Jesus was crucified, and his friends are trying to find his body. Another angel addresses them, and the words are exactly the same. Do not be afraid, and all will be well in 2019, because God is with us. His love is the light in every darkness, no matter how dark. And because he is with us always, we need not be afraid. Thanks be to God. And now,